How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of The Crow 2024.
I watched the second half of The Crow 2024.
And this is the other half.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Other Half Podcast. We are discussing the remake of a movie.
I'm a bird. You saw me a while ago, but I'm back, I'm a bird.
That's right.
We're not gonna do this guy. I don't want to talk to this guy anymore. We're kicking this bird out. I'm gonna go fucking shoot him in the back. All right, here you go. I'm going to cock the gun, and boom, he's dead. All right,
we are recording this.
Listen, we had a fucking leprechaun before. I want to kill it before it gets out of hand, okay?
We are recording this not in the same room, and it is the way that I am able to listen to you, it actually deleted the audio when you were doing that absurd voice.
Only the listeners will know. You won't know what it is.
I won't know what it sounded like, but I saw you making some weird facial expressions. I'm like, I should probably stop talking because I think he's doing something weird over there.
I'm not. There was a bird in here and I took care of it. And that's what happens. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we talk about the crow might come and make us invincible or bring us back from the dead. I don't know.
That's true.
So I didn't want any of that shit. About. I want to die a natural life. I want to be fucking cremated, you know?
Yeah. Classic. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man. I don't know anything about The Crow. All I know about The Crow is what
you've seen the first movie.
Other than what I was going to... You didn't let me finish.
You've seen the first movie.
Other than what I've learned from the first movie, I don't know shit about The Crow. And I feel like what?
I was trying to think if there anything was more to learn, but there was a sequel to Crow 2, I believe. The Cockney.
Oh, yeah. Crow Harder. And,
yeah.
Eat Crow.
Eat Crow. Eat Crow and Die. My favorite R.L. Stine book.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there apparently is a lot to learn because I remember we watched the first Crow movie and we liked it. We actually really enjoyed it.
We were surprised by
how much we liked it. And I remember it being a pretty good experience overall, easy to understand. This was the opposite of that.
Man, this movie sucks so much ass.
This movie sucks so much ass, dude.
It was the worst. It was so fucking bad and bland. It was everything wrong with any sort of reboot that people make. And I was thinking while I was watching this, I'm like, okay, did I like the first movie? I'm pretty sure I did. And I went back and listened to our podcast. We were hype as fuck about that movie. And listening to the podcast made me more mad about this movie. Because I was like... In last episode, I was talking about he already had the face paint on, the makeup running around in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't even put the fucking makeup on in my half.
He doesn't in my half of the movie.
He doesn't in your half of the movie.
And one of the other things, and obviously, I mean, I want to say there's no way to avoid this, but there's a very real way to avoid this. This is the guy that played Pennywise. And when he puts on the little makeup... He looks like Goth Pennywise.
I didn't really get to see it, but I believe you. Maybe that's why they laid it so long.
Yeah, he looks just like him. And it's like, you know, the best way to avoid that is to not cast the guy who plays Pennywise as the
crow. Yeah, but the thing is, people think he's so sexy with the clown outfit on, clown makeup that people want to get with him. So why not put him in someone who's actually meant to be sexy? But then we're also going to talk about his boring-ass backstory. I understand that in the first movie, Shelley's character was barely a character. She basically just dies almost instantly. And this one, they're like, let's talk about her. And it turns out
Not much to care.
Not much to really care about. So, like, you're spending all this time with a character that really, I don't know.
It's really just two characters you don't like getting upset about the fact that the other person is not around anymore. And I'm like, sorry, buddy. It's sort of like the movie's sort of like that meme where it's like, I'm not going to read all that, but I'm sorry or I'm excited for you. You know,
yes,
it's like,
it's exactly that.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. I don't understand. Like, obviously, I don't know. Maybe it's unfair to compare, the original to this. The comparisons are going to happen no matter what.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's unfair at all. You're literally invoking the name. If you're coming someplace with the name and you're being like, we're bringing it back, you know, you're of course going to get compared to it. Would we be? It'd be nuts to not compare like the latest Hellraiser movie to all the original Hellraiser movie. Like, it'd be insane to do that.
It is. And by comparison, Brandon Lee, and this is something I remember like vividly about the original one, is going like, what a loss. He was so talented. He was so charming. He was funny. He had intensity. He could fight. Like, he could do fucking everything. And like, Peter Sarsgaard, that's his name, right? Peter Sarsgaard?
I thought it was, yes, you're right, it's Peter. Yeah, it's Peter. I was trying to remember who.
He's not any of that. Bill Sarsgaard. He's none of that. He's none of that. He's like, he's sad and mopey and
Sad emo man. They made the goth like kind of goofiness and changed it into like emo bummerness, you know?
Yeah.
That's the best way I could put it. It reminds me, so this movie, I've been trying to look for this movie because maybe you can help me, but I'm trying to look for a movie we watched a while ago with these two people who were lovers and they're on the road and they were robbing people.
Infamous.
Is that it? Oh, God, what a terrible name. Yeah, you're right. it was infamous,
the movie with Bella Thorne, yeah.
Bella Thorne, yes.
Yeah.
That movie feels like terrible. It's infused. They took that and were like, what if we put it in The Crow? And I'm like, that's the worst thing you could have done. It's the worst thing you could have done. It's just showing two people who are, you know, troubled.
Yeah.
And become toxic to each other, basically.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because they love each other so much that it's great. And it's just very emo and it just, the vibes just don't mesh very well. It doesn't feel very coherent in a lot of ways.
It doesn't feel coherent. I think that's a good way of putting it.
It's overall just a huge bummer considering that when you first saw The Crow and you're like, all right, he's got short hair and he's got the goofy makeup on.
Yeah.
It kind of sets off red flags, right? You're just like, the thing about the first Crow is it's hokey. It's hokey.
Yeah, it's a hokey concept.
Yeah, it's a hokey concept. It also takes itself kind of like a little too seriously, but also just accepts itself.
Right.
This movie, it's kind of like...
It's almost embarrassed.
It is. It kind of feels like... I don't know. It's kind of like almost like a little bit like when the villain shows up. He's very like superhero villain, it feels like, at least in my half. He's a little more darker, sure. He's a little more evil than you find your typical like MCU
superhero
movie. He's more like a DC guy, if I tell you one. He's a DC character. Zack Snyder would definitely cast this guy.
He loves this
guy. Yeah, he's sick. He'd love this guy. But in the end, it just feels very try-hardy and like not in a fun way. And like the first movie was try-hardy, but also it kind of earned it with like really good martial arts. And like the action was there at the very front, and it was very coherent to see all the action scenes. These action scenes are fine. They're better than I expected, considering how kind of meandering most of the movie is.
Yeah.
But I didn't really get to a real action scene until like the last quarter of my movie. And
I will say, like I think that's the biggest fault against this movie. It's not fun. It's just not fun to watch. There is one really good action scene in my half of the movie. And I mean, you know, I'm going to give the director that. He was able to make one very fun-looking, energetic action scene. And that was great. But it's
credit
like,
where it's due.
But that is, it's so late in the fucking movie. And it's like, I don't know, it's like, it feels like everything up until then had been completely wasted. Like, all that time and energy has just been wasted just for this one scene, which, like, admittedly is good, but I wish it had existed in a better film, not something like this, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
One other thing I wanted to mention, too, is apparently the director of the original Crow immediately was super petty and threw shade against this movie. Once, like, the review started coming in and talking about how, like, his movie was way better and, like, this is, like, a crappy piece of shit. I'm going to look up and see exactly what he said. But I'm just like, and honestly, good for him because he's right. Like,
if you're making a movie, it's just like, if you make a reboot, you got to think, why are we doing this, right? Like, the first movie's so good and beloved. What do we expect to gain out of the reboot? And I think this one, they were like, okay, so Shelley was kind of a throwaway character. Maybe we're going to go into her a little bit more. And the relationship is like, why the crow loves her, you know, and why this matters. But also, like, showing it, you have to deliver on the showing, you know? And I don't really feel like these two characters really loved each other that much. It was just kind of like happenstance. And I'll get into my half. You didn't probably see it. Well, you didn't see it. You shouldn't have, unless you're breaking the rules, Mike.
I did not break the rules.
But it's a kind of a shame.
I think the problem, I believe that they love each other a lot. I just don't feel it. And I think that's the biggest problem, is like, you're really just seeing these. Every scene between the two of them feels sort of like a perfume commercial or something. You
yes.
Know?
Like yes. Like over stylized and hollow, but just sexy, right?
Yeah, they're exactly.
Like, well, they're like, look, we got the sexy clown, and we got FKA Twigs, who I've not been familiar with before this, but, you know, both attractive people.
Neither of them are bad actors either. I think it's just the problem is like, I just don't believe their chemistry whatsoever.
I was gonna say, I don't think they're bad actors. I just don't think they're bringing it. I don't think they're bringing it. I feel like they're just
They know what they're in.
Yeah, but true. But I don't know. Like, the movie seems to rely on, like, it feels like it relies on their acting to really have that chemistry.
Brandon brought it. That's what I'm fucking. That's what we're fucking.
Brandon brought
about.
It. That's
Brandon
like,
brought it 100 fucking percent.
That's true. He brought it enough that we didn't even care that Shelley wasn't a character. He brought all the character. He brought Shelley too.
Both. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about this. Oh, go ahead.
Here's what the original director said. Unfathomably god-awful goth remake. Wow, the reviews are brutal, he added. I thought the remake was a cynical cash grab. Not much cash to grab, it seems. That is such a good
Ooh!
Burn, dude.
Ooh, yeah. Not much cash to grab, it seems.
So yeah, tell me about how the movie opens.
It's like Siskel and Ebert, like, live through it. Okay. The movie opens with the M Davis Films logo. Or Davis Films.
I love the M Davis Films logo.
Davis Films logo, yes, it's very good. Well, the reason I brought it up is because they're best known for making Silent Hill and the Resident Evil movies. So,
oh, yo, dude, that is exactly the kind of vibe this movie's going for.
Yep. A little more edgy a perfume commercially. Yep. So we start off with, God, just the opening of this movie is so fucking lame. Okay, the boy is walking home with like a bag, and he hears a horse whinnying. He's like, oh no. And he sees a horse on the ground in front of what I assume is his home.
Yeah.
It's a trailer, and the horse is on the ground, tangled in barbed wire. He sees a ton of crows around and his mom sleeping in the trailer. So he has to save the horse because his mom's like, I think it's implied she's on drugs.
Mm.
And she's there and not responding to her son's calling. So he has to try to save the horse, and the horse just dies in his arms. Bro.
That's so depressing.
And the crows watch. So, I mean, that's it.
The crows are like, caw-caw.
But then over the voiceover says, when someone you love dies, you will know emptiness. You will know what it's like to be utterly alone. You will never forgive, and you will never forget. Now, the first movie opened up with a line as well.
Uh-huh.
There's a different line, and this was a character. Because in the other movie, they actually have like a kid character that kind of, I guess, they adopted in some like weird way. They didn't. The kid's not in this movie at all.
No, there's no kid in this.
But the kid is originally narrating and says, "People once believed when someone dies, a crow carries their soul to the land of the dead." Now tell me which one sounds more badass.
Well, see, one of them feels like the charging, the charging marching orders of Anonymous, the online troll brigade, and the other one is clearly way more badass. So,
that's a good point. I didn't realize that it is very similar to the Anonymous.
We will
rally
not forget.
Cry.
We will not forget. Yeah, exactly. The other one is clearly much more cool. Yeah, I even think that idea of like bringing in a child, I think that's a cool concept, is like you're establishing, you know, a child who's like looking up to this villain, to our main character. It establishes the idea that our main character is likable and appeals to like children and they're to protect. You know, I feel like even like that sort of decision and choice is doing some heavy lifting, you know, for the movie.
So far, this kid likes horses and they died and his mom seems to be bad. I don't know if I like the kid, though. He's just a kid. What about when
I'm
he
so
comes
glad
into
that
adult?
You listened to our original episode, too, because I don't remember that, but I love that that is how the movie opened.
Yeah, I definitely had to listen because I was like, I just need to remember if I liked the first movie as much as I did.
Yeah.
It just made me hate this one more.
Did I watch the second half, the last one too?
Yes, you did. You did.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. I remember that. I remember that now. Yeah.
Go listen to that episode too. It was a good episode.
It was a good episode. Check it out.
That was where I learned that the tragedy of Brandon Lee. I did not know that before that movie.
Oh, yes. I think I told you about it on the podcast. Yeah.
It's a crazy, crazy thing.
Yeah.
Because that's all I associate it with now. Anyway, so the intro screen is this, our boy, Mr. Skarsgård, in a shiny pool of liquid. Just like his buddy, or I guess, I don't know how they're related. Stellan?
His dad?
Is that his dad?
I'm pretty sure Stellan's his dad. Yeah.
I don't know how they're all related. I just know they, I feel like they're like minions that just get manufactured. So I don't know like how they're actually like related. Like I thought Stellan might be like model one and they're like not hot enough. We needed to make him more hot so he could be a clown. So they
Alexander and Bill are his sons.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. Alexander, Bill. Is there more? I feel like there's a thousand.
There are more. There's Gustav. There's Sam. There's Walter.
Oh man.
There's a lot of.
I feel like you're just making up Scandinavian names
what,
and just saying.
One of them is What is it? Three truths and a lie. Yes. Which one of those is fake? There's Wilhelm.
It's definitely Wilhelm.
Yeah.
Because he screams too much. You wouldn't be able to get a word in.
That's how you get the Sarsgaard money.
Yes. Yeah, so they've been just living off his Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, Wilhelm scream.
This whole time. That's how we got to do acting. Family business. Hey. So then Shelley's here. We're introduced to Shelley. This is our first like normal scene in the movie in the modern day. And she's talking to Zadie, her friend. You don't know Zadie. Maybe you hear about her, but
I don't know anything about Zadie.
She sends a video to Shelley and Shelley's like, "How'd you get this?" And Zadie's like, "Dom shot it." And she says, "You can get him with this, Shelley." And we watch part of the video. It just looks like a bunch of people just hanging out on the video.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you see the camera pans to show Shelley's face, and you just hear off the phone, "Oh shit! Well, what did you do to her?" But it's so quick. I had to rewind the scene and be like, "Wait, did something bad happen?"
You're not supposed to know what it is.
You're not supposed to know what it is, but it's like so, it doesn't even like really sound like anything bad happens. Just like people partying, but then it sounds. But I had to watch it again to hear the sound. It was weird.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's something horrible.
Yeah. What do you think it is?
Well, it's probably the mean guy sucks the soul out of someone, basically.
Okay. Cool. The mean guy.
The bad guy. Mr. Rogue. Is that his name?
Vincent?
Rogue. Oh, is it? I'm pretty sure everyone calls him Mr. Rogue, but...
Oh, I don't know. I heard him referred to as Vincent. I'll look it up. Vincent Rogue might be his name.
That might be it. Anyway, so, yeah,
Vincent
does all that.
Vincent Rogue. That's
okay,
what it
cool.
Is.
Good. I'm on the right path. So then Zadie comes home after sending this video to a Tilda Swinton-like, is all I can describe as her. There's a blonde, skinny lady and some dude with one eye. And he looks at Zadie. They look at Zadie's phone, see the evidence, and immediately hit her with like a big syringe to knock her out.
Oh no! Hit her with a big syringe.
It's
like
a big
over
syringe.
The head. They don't even like eject it.
No, they just hit her with it.
It's like a comically big syringe that they just like whack her over the head with.
That idea is so funny. Hey, I give you a different style of the jab. It's called the real jab. A jab with the jab. Shelley is inspired by. I guess the video is like, maybe I will get him. I'm going to call Dom. I'm going to call Dom, meet him. Dom, so what I'm gathering is I believe they are, like, from my understanding at this point, I thought they're all, like, sex workers or something.
Sure.
And they were going to meet and up trying to, like, take down their pimp, basically, is my thought, is what was going
on. That's fair.
She leaves and gets trailed by some older dude who looks like he's going to fucking kill her, like, going to knock her out. But she instead bumps into some cops and... drops her bag full of drugs, and in the most comically quick fashion imaginable, they just pick up the drugs and go, "Why is she doing this? Hey, I get locked up here," and they lock her up, and then she gets arrested. And the dude who was going to try to kill her kind of backs off. It looks like he's going to try to kill her. I don't know. Probably.
We don't know. We don't know what he could have done.
We don't know.
I don't even know who he is.
I don't know who he is either. So the Crow Man, I call the Crow Man, but his name is Eric.
I'm going to call him Crow as well.
But I guess in my half, he's mostly Eric, to be honest.
Right.
So maybe I'll just
call him. He isn't the crow yet.
He's barely the crow. He doesn't even think about crows. Hasn't even thought about a raven. Hasn't even read Edgar Allan Poe, The Raven.
Definitely not. He doesn't know the difference between a crow and a raven. Like, we do.
Thinks of the same thing. Like, we do, definitely.
Yeah.
Audience, you can look it up, though. It's too long for this podcast to explain.
Obviously, we all know the difference between the two of them. We but all Eric, know.
Eric's having fucking flashbacks to the fucking horse again. He's being disturbed. And he's in group therapy for, I think, drugs.
The
it
horse.
Looks like drugs.
Oh.
The horse this whole time. I could save that horse. In 20 years, it's haunted me.
Yeah.
And he's being sad. And then he sees Shelly walk around in prison. Now, all right, this prison is crazy. Because it doesn't really seem like a prison. It's more like, first off, co-ed. Already kind of strange.
That's not a prison.
Not really. It feels like a prison from a young adult dystopian novel where it's like, ooh, we're so oppressed. It's like, I mean, you can't go anywhere, but like it doesn't seem that bad.
I love how you're like, it's from a young adult dystopian novel. Just say Hunger Games, Ethan. We all know what you're talking about.
There are other ones. Maze Runner.
Oh, yeah. Maze Runner. That's right.
The one with the fairies that fuck. I don't know if that's a young adult one. I think they fuck, so maybe that's not
fuck.
It.
That's my favorite Aquatar. Song from Company. The fairies who fuck. If Honey were that here, one. They would appreciate that one.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll get a DM about it. So yeah. Then the young protege from so we're introduced to Mr. Rogue in a different set. He's got some person visiting him. He's a fancy guy. He's listening to an opera or some shit. And right. So there's like this lady who comes up. It's a young girl, just like, oh, he's born in Vienna. And it's like, oh, I heard great things come from Vienna. I look forward to hearing you play. And then we go back to the Tilda Swinton type, who is hanging out with Zadie, and she calls in Mr. Rogue into a room with a bunch of plastic laid out, like Dexter style, right? Like,
right.
Some shit's
about
gonna
to kill
go down.
Somebody.
It's gonna get nasty, yeah.
Right, right.
And Mr. Rogue shows up, and at first you're like, Mr. Rogue, you must be like a kind of chill guy, I guess. You know, he just seems like a chill guy. I feel like there was more scenes between this, but maybe there aren't. this is what my notes say.
Sure.
So
you gotta trust in the notes.
I gotta trust the notes. So then he goes up to Zadie and says, you know, I've killed hundreds of innocents just like you, Zadie. The centuries I've been here, it never gets any easier. Mm. I wish I could do that to rapists and murderers, but he wants innocent people to go to hell so I don't have to. And then he goes real close to your ear and does a weird little chant. He goes, and her eyes go white. And they go and then they give her a knife and she starts stabbing herself till she stabs herself in the throat and then she dies. And then he takes her blood and like merges it with hers. And it's like a weird thing where he's like, and then we cut to Eric doing jumping jacks very poorly in prison hab.
Okay. Can I ask you how?
Absolutely.
Did you ever find the like voice thing creepy or scary or effective?
It's a little goofy. It's
so fucking stupid.
It's a little goofy.
The first time I see it.
This is one of those things where they shouldn't show you the voice. They should just
not hear it. Yes.
Yeah, it'd just be nothing. That's scary.
Just
can
like
you imagine
under
it?
His breath, just like, you know, like the hearing a fucking
but he's like,
spooky monster man.
Spooky monster man comes out and is like, oh man.
Coming out of his mouth. It's never good. It's never good.
If someone like whispered something inaudible to someone in their ear and then they suddenly grab a knife and stab themselves, that's pretty scary.
That's
scary. If they have a weird boogeyman voice telling them to do that, it's like, okay.
It's never scary.
Stop yourself. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. I think less is more in that case. If he doesn't have like a spooky demon monster man voice, I don't know if that's going to work as well.
It's weird that in a movie, The Crow 2024, a reboot of a movie where a guy lands on a gargoyle and the blood flows out of the gargoyle.
Yeah.
Which makes no logical sense because the movie just goes for it. It's weird that we're like, this movie should pull back a little.
I think in this one case, I think they should pull back a little bit because otherwise you're going to laugh at it. I don't know if anyone's going to take that kind of thing seriously.
You're right.
Yeah, anyway.
So, yeah, this weird little chant. And then Shelly sits next to Eric at lunch. And already I'm like, first off, co-ed, fine. But eating together in lunch? Come on, this is crazy.
Yeah, that's
so then, Mike, so you're like, oh, whatever. Ethan's probably over-exaggerating. No. Let me tell you. So, first off, they explain a little bit about their tattoos. She has a tattoo That says laugh now, cry later on her tattoo. And he says more like cry now, cry later. He's so fucking dark, dude. He's so fucking
edgy.
What
the fuck does that even mean?
He's just so emo, dude.
He just like was crying all the time.
Uh-huh. And she and he's I didn't write who wrote this joke down. I'm pretty sure he said this joke. He says, what kind of drink? No, she says, what kind of drink is hard to drink? And he's like, what? She says, reality.
Oh God. That's so cringe, dude. That's so stupid.
And then she's like, I gotta go. And then she leaves. But later, they're in, I kid you not, a fucking movie theater. They're in a movie theater, and they're watching a movie, and she looks behind her and goes, ooh, look at that guy. And they stick out their tongues at each other. And I was just like, a fucking movie theater in a prison? What is this? Is this what high security, like low security prisons are? A movie theater? Like, I'm talking, like, projection system, stadium
seating.
Oh, not
like a room? Oh, okay, no, that's different then.
It's a whole thing.
I'm imagining like Green Mile, you know, Shawshank Redemption situation where it's like a room with chairs.
Yeah, it's not like your everyday like classroom, you know, where they're like, oh, it's movie day. We're pulling out the old TV. It's not like that. It's like, no, this is a dedicated movie theater section.
That's surprising.
And like, first off, I was like, okay, maybe this is like a cool rich rehab where like kids get sent to with like money. But I'm like, first off, we don't know anything about the Crow's parents are like living in a trailer park. So.
Right.
No money.
She
was picked up by the cops, and they're not going to send her to a nice one, I don't think. I don't know.
Also, why would they send her immediately to, like, a rehab? Like, why not send her to a jail? You know?
Yeah. I don't know, I guess. But this is, like, jail, possession. Also rehab.
Yeah.
Jail rehab. Yeah, I don't know.
Sure.
So they did a thing where everyone's in a circle, and they do that thing where they're like, have you ever. Thought about
never have I ever.
Yeah, and they're like, if this happened to you, step inside. If this also happened to you, step inside. And it's just always like things that are like, if you fucking saw your horse die, step forward. If you fucking got caught with drugs, step forward. If you're ready to turn your life around and bring something better to your life, step forward in the circle. Shelley does. Eric doesn't. He's not ready yet, but she is. She's ready. His room gets trashed.
By who?
The wardens, I guess.
Oh,
and
I'm really upset by his room.
Yeah, really upset. So he's like picking it up.
Ugh.
And so like fucking Shelly swings by and finds a fucking photo of her drawn that's her naked. He's drawn a picture of her naked. And he's like,
no.
Ooh, is this me? And he's like, I don't know. She's kind of into it.
I don't know who do that.
She's like, that's cool, I guess. And then she starts snooping through his notes because they're all over the ground. And she's like, ooh, you write well. This could be set to like some music or something of his poetry or whatever.
Sure.
And, you know, I guess there's a whole music connection. But then we cut to.
Here's a problem, right? Like, they want to establish Shelley as a much more fleshed out character. I don't believe for a second that any woman in a prison or, like, you know, any situation like this is going to see a naked drawing of herself and go, like,
it's
that guy's
art,
cool.
Though. It's art. It's not like your old classic draw a stick figure with some tits and jerk off to it. It's something artsy.
It looks good.
It looks good. So Tilda Swinton is actually arriving at the prison trying to find Shelley because they want to get her, but they can't. And he's like, who are they there? Who's there? And she's like, oh, are there people like trying to look for me? And she's like, oh, there's just some people with some outfits. She's like, that must be them. You quick, we got to escape. I got to get out of here. Do you know a way out? And he's like, oh, yeah, you could escape. You could escape through the yard, through the laundry windows, the windows in the laundry. You just do that. And she's like, okay, I'm coming with you too, by the way. And she's like, you are? It's like, yeah, I'm coming with you. I don't got no fucking reason to be here. And so they go to the laundry and they open up the windows and they sneak through the little like vents in the basement of the laundry to go into the yard. They cut off their tracking tags and leave them in the laundry.
Right. And that works.
It works. And then
how do
they
cut
just
it off? Who cares? Why am I asking these stupid questions?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's just, I think he just used like a knife or scissors or something. Or he has like,
easy to get a hold of in a prison.
In a place where you get fucking popcorn and a smooth, and a fucking icy.
Sure,
to have
with
your
sure.
little fun prison movie. They probably give you knives all the time. I think he might have been making a shiv for fun just because it was like, I don't know, to be edgy.
For fun.
Probably to cut himself. I don't know, because he's so fucking sad all the time.
Emo. Yeah.
So they hop the fence. He puts over his like shirt. They jump over it. And there's like fun pop music playing as they run the forest. I'm like, where are they going? What's going on? They flag down a car and they hang out in the truck bed. And they're like, hee hee, we made it. We did it. We escaped. I'm like, this is a fucking joke ass prison. They just let these two. It was the easiest thing. They just threw like, this was no Shawshank Redemption shit at all. This is like the easiest escape I've ever seen. That's why I'm like, I still think this is some weird rehab that they like. Maybe fashion to be like for more intense rich kids, you know, or something like that.
Sure, but clearly they aren't rich.
I don't know. Well, I think her mom might be rich, maybe.
But his isn't.
His parents aren't, so I don't know how the fuck he got here.
Yeah, I don't know if he wound up here, but okay.
Anyway, now they're in the big old city. They go to her house.
They're in the
house,
Big Apple.
It seems like the Big Apple, but we don't know. So she goes to her house, which is not really her house. It's a huge crazy house that she borrows from a friend.
Right.
Basically a big flat, I would say. And she's like, you know, you don't have to stay. Maybe you could find somewhere safer because like people are following me. And he's like, no, it's cool. I like you. And we could go hide somewhere together. She's like, ooh, I find that sexy. And she's about to go kiss him. And then she's like, oh, you stink, dude. And he's like, oh, shit, my bad. Can I use a shower? She's like, not yet. And then they fuck on the couch. I'm like, why did you even do that whole thing?
Ugh.
Ooh,
let's
stink
this couch up.
Let's make this couch all stinky. That's friend's house I'm waiting in. And then they're like hanging out smoking weed in the bathtub. I'm like, oh shit, they're slipping. Maybe okay. Maybe they'd be okay with weed.
Hey,
maybe
man, weed's fine,
it.
Right?
Weed's fine. It's just a plan. That sounds like that. And they start talking about what they think about each other. It's like, oh man. So she's like, what do you think about me? He says, I thought you were brilliantly broken. I'm like,
oh, I hate that. I hate that.
Oh,
that's not
broken.
Good.
Yeah. That really is the emphasis of this movie. Like, if that was the title of, like, you know, The Crow, Beautifully Broken or something.
Right.
That would really distill kind of the vibe of this movie a lot, where it's just like very dated, like 2009 edgy emo cringe kind of
right.
is what it feels like.
It does feel like this should have been made 10 years, 20 years
ago. Yeah. Well, I was listening to our old podcast. There was apparently a reboot they've been trying to do for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I think this maybe the script was like, written back then.
This is like Hot Topic, like era The Crow, you know?
Yes, very much so. But then, so they're like, what's the worst thing you've ever done? And he's like, she says, I once escaped rehab with a complete degenerate. So I'm like, what is the real worst thing she's ever done? Because she's just being a
little flirty. What do you think it is?
She probably sold out someone to Mr. Rogue. And
that's pretty bad.
She feels bad about it.
That's pretty bad.
After knowing what she does. So then they start doing drugs now, and they start drinking. So I don't know. I think that's off the table. She says, I got some MDMA called Lamb of God. Do you want to do it? So they do it.
Where did she get it from?
There was like a little secret hatch or something in her
roommate's
thing.
Oh, in the house. Okay, that makes sense.
I guess
makes sense.
They're rich.
Yeah.
They just have drugs around. Yeah. So then they party in the room. They get all sexy and start making out, running around half naked. And they're really just like, look at these two hot people having a good time. I'm like, that's cool, I guess. And then they go on the roof. And they start talking about deep shit, you know, coming off of that MDMA and being hungover as drunk as fuck.
Yeah.
They sound totally sober right now. And they're like, how many people have you loved? And he's like, I don't think any. It's like seriously love. It's like, I don't know. And she's like, what about me? He's like, yeah, I think I love you. And she's like, and then she says, if I'm ever hard to love, try to love me harder. And then they fall asleep.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, then that's great. I can feel that connection, you know, that chemistry.
If I'm ever a complete asshole.
Just love me more.
Just love me more. And maybe we'll stop. Or maybe give
exactly.
me money. I don't know.
Or drugs.
So now we cut to a body being pulled out of the river. It's Zadie's body. Mr. Rogue talks about
not
how
Zadie. She's my favorite character in the whole wide world.
She's my favorite character. She died. Mr. Rogue's upset that they found the body, but they do have a man on the inside who calls them and lets them know that they're pulling the body out. And Tilda Swinton's character, who's not Tilda Swinton, I must remind you, but she looks like Tilda Swinton. I still don't know her name.
I know who you're talking about, yes. She does. We can call her Tilda if you want. I don't know what her real name is.
It's Tilda, then. She's like, dang, I'll fix it. I'm sorry, boss. She's like, you can't have me fucking up like this. You can't do this. Anyway, oh my god, this is like the first time I'm remembering the scene because it's completely ejected from my brain. But
That's fair. Two
main characters, they go camping with some friends. She's reading some poetry and stuff. They do some swimming. It's great.
Wow.
They talk about
I love just watching them do that.
And he's like, I want to live like this all the time and it to never end. And it's like, it could probably never end. We can keep doing this forever. And then we cut to an apartment. Shelley's there singing sad karaoke. He's on the keyboard.
What is she singing?
She's singing her own original song that I don't know. It's just some random song. And then he's like, I think, you know what? You're better at the keyboard than me. You want to try it? And she's like, okay, I don't know. I haven't done it in a while. And she goes up to the piano and she remembers she has flashbacks to Mr. Rogue. And he was threatening her with a knife at the keyboard.
Oh, no.
And he's like, and she's like, are you okay? Like, you seem like you're about this. And she's like, I can't tell you what I did. If you do, you'll leave me. And if you do leave me, I would die.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is a lot.
Man, that's so emotional.
And then he says, like, if I left you, though, I would also be dead. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? So she asks, would you follow me anywhere as they walk across this bridge? And she says, even if I jump off this bridge into water, he's like, yeah, dude, of course. And then she says, do you think angsty teenagers would make shrines for us? They would line it with cigarettes. And he's like, yeah, man, I think they would. They would line it with cigarettes and whiskey. And she says, no, it would be a sea of white lilies. A sea of white lilies. And I'm just like, what the fuck? I can't relate to any of these characters. I'm too old, jaded for this.
This really feels like they're sort of like nudging the audience. Like, wouldn't it be cool to do that, right, guys? Like, that's something you guys
would
do, right?
It feels like very much like we're trying to be martyrs in our own movie and like make it. If it's cool if we say this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no, if you're cool enough, you don't even like mention that shit, you know?
Yep, exactly.
And there might be a way where they think about it. In a better made movie, you could probably get away with this dialogue. And it maybe would land a little bit where you're like, oh, maybe they are thinking about themselves. But this feels like so much like you're watching a movie and these characters aren't real. This dialogue seems like super out of place and feels very hokey.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest problem with it all, right? Is it just feels incredibly hokey.
And not in the fun way. It's not fun at all. It's just
The original one had like a hokiness to it, but it felt like charming and fun.
There's a man
like
with a giant pot of cocaine just snorting it and killing people and like roasting eyeballs for no reason.
Yeah. Roasting.
What do we get
eyeballs.
Here? We got someone being like, I want, when I die, I would have a bunch of white lilies in the water. Shut the fuck up. Okay. Then they dance at a rave club and they're having a good time. And then a dude with a hoodie gets in and you're like, oh shit, this guy's up to no good. He finds Shelly when she's going to go get another drink. And it's our guy earlier that I forgot his name. Dom? Is that his name?
I don't know anybody's name.
Oh, God, I forgot. Well, it's the guy that she was. I'm going to call him Dom. And Dom's there, and he's like, oh, man. Zadie's fucking dead, dude. Zadie's dead. And she's like, oh, shit. It's like, you got to get out of here. We're getting trailed. She's like, hold on. I got to bring Eric with me. She brings Eric and explains the whole thing to him. He's just like, what? What is happening? And they go to an abandoned warehouse with mannequins, and he follows her up there to find Shelly. And it seems like Dom fucking trapped him because he gets there, and Shelly has a bag over her head. And Tilda Swinton's there, the guy with one eye is there. And they grab him, put a bag over his head, and then, in the most emo fashion ever, they watch each other suffocate next to each other.
Oh, my
gosh. And there's a weird guy next to her that like is like, hee hee, I'm into suffocating, and gives her a little kiss on the head, and he's like, hee hee hee.
He's a bad guy.
I think he's the guy who was following her the first time, actually.
Okay.
That got stopped by the cops. And then it's trippy mind time where they're both underwater. Eric is trying to save her from sinking, and he falls, she falls, and then he wakes up and he's outside in this kind of like city. And he's like, it's kind of weird. He's like awake. There's a dog here. goes, the dog runs away and goes to a man. He goes and finds the man and follows him. Get out of the water.
So yeah. What
the fuck is going on? It's like a weird place. It's like a city, but weird is all I could describe it, right? Like, picture the most generic American city. And it's got, it's just big. It's just endlessly big. It doesn't end. So, like, New York times two, I guess, is what I would say, with a little bit of Chicago infrastructure. And, yeah, so he's there, and he talks to this person, and he's like, what is going on? And he's like, people believe that a crow would take their spirit to the land of the dead, but sometimes something so bad happened that terrible sadness is carried with it, and the soul cannot rest. The crow will guide you to put wrong things right, which is from the first movie.
Yeah, okay.
This
Thank you for
is
reminding me.
A nightmare, and he says, go wake up then, this mysterious man does, and he pushes Eric away, and he falls, and he pushes himself awake, and he's awake in the bag, and he's like, what the fuck? Takes the bag off. He's in the warehouse. Actually, I don't think he has the bag on anymore. He's in the warehouse apartment thing, and Shelly's gone. He's like, what the fuck? And he looks at a tattoo on him that says, cry now, cry later. But,
yes.
But it's not finished. And we see, this is the part where I was like, okay, fuck these people. All right? This core relationship we're supposed to love.
Yeah.
We see a flashback of him getting the tattoo artist by this guy, and Shelly just comes in, moves the tattoo artist, and sits and starts making out with Eric, and the tattoo artist walks away and says, no one respects my work, and he leaves.
Honestly, like, just, that's pretty great. That's
it's really
great.
Funny, but not the tone of the movie at all. Like, it's funny because I don't know why they left it in there. It feels so, like, a normal movie would be like, oh, that guy would just leave. But for some reason, they put that line in there.
What does the tattoo artist look like? Is he like this bald dude?
I do not remember. Maybe.
Okay, got it.
I'm sorry. He was in there for like a second. I didn't think he was even important.
That's
so
fair, that's
the
fair.
Cop shows up, and he's like, what the fuck? There's a guy in here.
There's
he's
a guy
like,
in here.
And he's like, don't worry, it's the cops, man. What happened? He's like, I don't know what's real anymore. I just think something really bad happened to my girlfriend, man. And so the cop just pulls out a gun and shoots him. And then he falls on the ground. He's like, oh. And the cops... But he doesn't die. He gets back up. The cop's like, what the fuck? And they start fighting. A pretty long sequence of them fighting. They smash bottles on him. He's fine. Eric's not got any issues. He pulls out the knife after he gets stabbed and stabs the cop in the stomach and kills him.
Whoa.
And then he goes into a room and starts putting his organs back into his stomach, which was kind of cool. And he puts his wound heals up. And then he keeps hearing the crow will guide you to make things right. And he follows this crow that's just kind of there, and it just kind of hangs out. It starts flying away. He sees he starts walking in the city now, and he sees weird visions of Shelly jumping in the water, the same place where she's like.
How is this looking to you? Does this look good, effective, spooky?
It's a little atmospheric. It's a little.
Okay, that's what I want to know. Because I don't see, I see this like city a little bit, but I don't see anything.
This
like
is normal
this
city. This is normal city. This is the real city. He's not
dying.
Oh,
again. I thought this was other world
he's been
city.
He's been in the reality for a bit. He's walking around the normal city now. But then he sees the spot where Shelly jumped in.
Right.
And he decides, oh shit, he sees a vision of her jumping in. And he, of course, because he loves her so much, jumps in after her. And he wakes up again in the spooky city. And he's like, why am I here? And she isn't. He talks to the man. And he's like, she's in a wrong place, going down to a place much worse than this is what's happening to her.
Right.
But the thing is you were killed by someone who doesn't belong in your world. That's not balance.
Right.
And he says, you have to kill them all, and you'll both get your lives back. You're invincible. You could feel pain, but as long as your love remains pure, you cannot die.
Yes.
The rules. And I love a man who just appears, tells you all the rules of everything, doesn't hand wave anything away, doesn't say, like, don't worry about it. It's just how it is. He just is like, these are the rules of the weird place. Which weirdly brings up more questions like, who the fuck are you? Like,
yeah. I feel like in the original one, again, they really simplified. You have to simplify. It's like you are running on pure vengeance against a wrongful death of your girlfriend. Like,
That's all you need. You don't need.
And the, through the power of the crow, right?
Yeah, that's all you need. Yeah, it's silly, but it's all you need. I don't need any more information. I feel like giving us this, like, so there's a guy who doesn't belong in the world that you're in, and you have to make sure your love is pure so that you can remain. Like, I'm like,
it's too many rules.
What does purity mean? Like, what the like? Yeah. How is this a pure love? I barely know this girl. Like, it's
maybe that's
like
why it's so pure, because
yeah, I suppose so.
She's the only one who like ever looked at him, I guess, because he's kind of weird.
He is weird looking. That's true.
So he goes to his old friend's house, and the dude's like, "Hey, man, everyone thought you were dead, dude." And Eric's like, "I need a gun." He's like, "Oh, sick! I get you one of those." And he gives him a gun. And he goes to a funeral, and actually, at the end of the funeral, it's Shelly's mom shows up because they're mourning her. She gets in the back of a limo, and he's there, and he scares the shit out of her. He's like, "Take me! I need to know more about your daughter." And she goes to her house and starts talking about it. And he says, "Why were you there that day?" And that's the thing I didn't realize initially, is that she was one of the people who were there when Tilda Swinton and the guy with one eye were suffocating. She was also standing there, but we didn't know who she was. She was just there. But I realized it's Shelley's mom was there, which is very weird.
Very weird.
And
Sophia
she says,
is her name.
Sophia, yes. And she's like, yes. "Oh, you know, she died of an overdose. How would you know?" And he's like, "I was there." And she's like, "What? I don't know what to understand what you're talking about. How do you mean you were there? Everyone died there. I mean, it was an overdose. Don't worry about it." She's still trying to protect herself.
Right.
And they're at her place now, and she says, like, "Oh, I think the jig is up. I think he does, like, he's got some weird invincibility power or something." So she's like, "You don't understand who you're dealing with. My baby's gone, and she's not coming back." And she starts crying, super upset. And she keeps saying, "She's gone, she's gone, she's gone." And so he's like, "Okay, well, I'm going to go look around here, I guess, while you're mourning." And so he goes into Shelly's room, finds a secret stash of old photos with all her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds a staff badge to Rogue Industries.
Oh, boy.
So he then decides, oh, Rogue Industries. So he looks it up. He goes out to the front of it, and there's a guy hanging out in front of it. It's the guy with the one eye. And he pulls out a gun, the guy with one eye, and says, and the guy just says, "I think I fucking killed you, didn't I?" And he's like, "I'm getting in the car, and I have some demands. I want names of all the people you work for." But then the guy with one eye goes and grabs a gun, and Eric just shoots him in the chest and kills him. Because
he's not even going to get the names.
Yeah, we're not even going to get the names. But luckily, he sees Tilda Swinton, and I think it's just Tilda Swinton, getting into a car.
Yes.
And he decides to start following them.
Yes.
He does find text from, I believe, someone being like, "Meet us at this place." So he's like, "Oh, shit, I got to go there." But he then decides to instead follow Tilda Swinton into a car.
In her car.
And he actually does a pretty cool thing and just walks in front of it. And he just gets sent through it. And then
into
he
the front window
and shooting everyone inside of it. And honestly, I was like, "Damn, this is where the movie gets good, and I have to stop watching." I'm sitting here for like 40 minutes.
I see him like going after Tilda Swinton, getting hit by a car, and I'm like, I don't know, he already has his powers. I assume he'd already have his powers at this point.
If he's doing something like that, yeah.
He flies through the front windshield, lands in the front like seat of the car, and just starts shooting, popping everybody in the car. Yeah,
it was awesome.
It was pretty great. There's a big fight in the front seat. He's going after some kind of woman that looks like Tilda Swinton. And there's one guy in the car that I think he's the dude with the one eye, I think, or something, or is it just another guy, I think.
Must be another guy. I think the one eye guy died.
It's another guy. And that guy kicks the crow out of the van after like a bunch of fighting, and the crow falls out of the van into oncoming traffic, and this big large truck just runs over him, like, horrifyingly.
Oh god.
And his body is like mangled, his leg's broken, and he ends up having to pop his broken leg back into place so that he can like walk around now, but he's still alive. And I'm like, okay,
it's gotta hurt.
He's fine. It looked like it hurt,
but his love is pure.
His love is pure. So we cut to Sophia, and Vincent shows up. Mr. What's his name?
Oh, Rogue? Mr. Rogue. Oh, yeah, Sophia. Okay, yeah, yeah. Is there any more with that little... Does that little Vienna girl ever come into play again? Because I feel like she's just been in the back a lot and just not doing anything.
With a Vienna girl?
The little girl that's like, oh, she's kind of like the next Shelley, I imagine.
No, we don't see her ever.
Cool.
Ro goes to Sophia. It's like, my condolences for Shelley. And yeah, and then he's asking, like, there's this guy and he wants to like kill me. Do you know anything about that? And then I think she says, like, if he kills you, then he'll bring her back from the dead. I don't know how Sophia knows this, but okay. Sophia knows this, I guess.
I don't know either. I mean, she clearly knows more than she's let on.
Yeah. So then, anyway. And then, so all this, I'm like, okay, so I'm establishing Sophia seems to know something. I think maybe she's got some kind of comparison to Shelley. Don't know who Shelley is. And then, and we've got this bad guy who's clearly going after the Crow, and I don't like him. So all that's starting to be established. And I'm like, okay, we're setting a little mood. We're setting a little atmosphere. That fight seems pretty cool. We're doing great. And then fucking Vincent Rogue comes up to Sophia, puts his mouth against her ear, and just goes,
and then
Sophia's eyes go all white. And I'm laughing my fucking ass off as he, like, mumbles in her ear like Boris Pickett from the Monster Mash. And he goes for a walk. He leaves Sophia to herself. And Sophia
jumps out
the window.
You're
going to
do the mash. On the asphalt smash. You're going to do the mash.
That's exactly right. Sophia jumps to
her death
and dies.
They're
going to
clean you up to ash.
You'll die in a flash. So, I don't know. My notes are not great here. I wrote down, guy gets some dude on the phone. I'm guessing guy is Rogue.
These are
some
Ethan
notes.
Gets
some dude on the phone. Yeah. And he says, yeah, this sounds like some Ethan. I should have rewritten these. And yeah. He says, he fully believes that the Crow has the power to escape death. So Rogue is starting to arrive at the fact that the Crow is running around and he cannot die. I don't know. He just believes that this is the case.
Okay. So the Crow, I mean, probably because he got run over and he was like, oh shit.
That well, he wasn't
like,
there when he saw like, that. You know, he doesn't right. know. So the Crow interrogates some guy that apparently he saw at a club. I think he's the dude that was recording the video of Shelley.
Oh yeah, Dom.
Dom. And so he's like, bro, there's this guy and he's got a spooky voice. And if he whispers in your ear, you have all those doubtful voices in your head control you and make you do evil, bad stuff, and it manipulates people.
Oh, dude.
And he said that he would never have made that. He apparently made the video to show off like what like Vincent could do. But then
it just
led to Shelley doing bad things. And so Shelley hid the video. So the Crow goes back to the place that Shelley was living in, finds the video, and it's revealed that what happened was Shelley was in a room with all those ladies, and then the creepy voice guy goes up and goes, says that into Shelley's ear, and then Shelley grabs a knife and just stabs and kills a random girl in the room. And that's what the footage is showing, is that Shelley's a murderer. So there you go. So the Crow, he's like, after he saw that video, he's like, I don't, you know what? I don't think I know this girl that well.
His love isn't pure.
His love is no longer pure, exactly. And so he goes to some guy's house. I think it's the tattoo artist. And he goes to that guy's house and he's like, hey, man, I got this phone. It's got this really fucking creepy footage on it. I don't really know what to do. And I'm like, I don't know why you came to this guy. I don't know who he is.
Is this guy an expert? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
He sounds like he might be.
Even if you saw him in my half and he was that tattoo guy, it's not like I know the tattoo guy is a great tech guy or something like
that. Yeah, right? So then these goons bust in from the Rogues. Was that his name? Rogue? Yeah, Rogues goons bust in.
It's very subtle, right? Rogue.
And they're there. Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Gone rogue on whatever heaven and hell balance there is.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And they're there to take the Crow in. They don't want to kill him, but they do kill the tattoo artist's guy. And the guy's just sitting there like, hey, what are you doing in my house? And they just fucking shoot him in the face. And he like dies on the sofa. So that guy's dead.
That guy, no one respects his work. No one respects his life.
No.
Poor guy.
And so then they end up accidentally shooting the Crow in the chest. And one of the goons goes like, what have you done? And the Crow falls into the pool or into like a tub. Full of water. I don't know why there was a tub full of water, but he falls into the tub full of water and he dies.
Oh shit, for real?
The Crow is yes. And the Crow wakes up on the other side. He's back on the other side and he talks to that dude from the other side.
You've seen
like,
the city.
I see the city, but I'm not seeing anything like crazy. It really just sort of looks like one of the like streets from like Eraserhead. Like it doesn't look like super atmospheric.
I mean, that
anything.
Sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah, I suppose.
Anything from Eraserhead's pretty crazy, but yeah, it's just
I love Eraserhead. Yeah. And so he's there, and the guy's sort of like, "Here's what's going on, bro. You are not healing because you know your love for Shelly is no longer pure. You have doubts. You think that Shelly might be like a murderer because you saw that video where she murdered a guy. And if you doubt that you love her, then you cannot continue on with your quest and you cannot
but
bring
also,
her back.
This
from the
is
other
so
world.
Fucking stupid. Like, he's doubting this, but obviously he just heard from Dom that, yeah. like, hey, man, this guy says some crazy stuff and it'll like make you do some crazy shit. It's like someone's like, so watch this video then after with this knowledge that maybe you'll see your best friend or maybe your lover do something crazy, but it's not her fault.
Yeah.
Sees her do something crazy. This is, I don't know if I know this lady.
Yeah, which is fair because, again, it's like, this is not a pure love if you only know her for like a week. Like,
yeah. He's like, oh shit, I thought about it.
Rehab. I don't know. So basically he's like, I will fight. I must fight. And he says, my soul for her soul. So basically it's like they're going to switch in the afterlife. He's going to bring her out of wherever she is and he's going to go to where she is, where her soul remains. And but the guy on the other side is like, you know, even if you do save her, you can never be together. You know, it's the old Hades Town issue. It's like you'll always be separated. And so all these crows fly around him, and I'm like, oh, it's the crows. Oh, this is so spooky. And then one crow comes and flies into his back and just sort of poofs. Like, it's so lame.
Oh, no.
And,
so
and the guy's like, there's no coming back from this. And then he starts to bleed black goo, and he's like, I'm going to go put the wrong things right. And he comes back to life and comes out of the tub.
Good Lord.
He starts to just miraculously murder all of those goons, just killing them all. Over.
This movie's like almost over, and he's finally going to become the crow.
He's finally like, the crow.
This movie fucking sucks, man.
So then, and up until now, I'm like, okay, this is pretty. I mean, this. I imagine there's a person watching this movie who's like, this is pretty badass. I can imagine that. I'm not that person, but he's starting to go through this guy's apartment, that like poor tattoo artist dude's apartment. He's killing all these people, and then finally, when they're all dead, he sits down on the dude's couch next to his dead body, and there's this wide shot of the crow getting all emotional and sad about Shelly being dead, and next to him is the dude's like dead lifeless body. And I'm like, I don't know if this is an effective shot. Like it plays as comedy. It doesn't play as like dramatic. And then the crow, because the crow's like not even like caring that this dude is dead, basically. He's like acting as if he's like a throw pillow or something. And then he starts smoking. And again, it's like, this is not adding to the atmosphere, I think, that the movie's trying to create.
So somehow smoking, they made smoking look uncool. Is that really what you're saying? Because that's a feat.
I know, exactly. And it also starts to make tattoos look uncool, because then he tattoos his hand and he adds the cry later to his hand, which I didn't understand why he did that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He tattoos himself, and then using the tattoo ink, he starts to apply it to his face so that he can look all spooky.
It's tattoo ink that does that.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And then he grabs what I can only describe as a pirate sword, like a rapier or something.
Okay.
And he uses that and he stabs Amir with the pirate sword. And this is going to be his murder weapon instrument that he's going to go through.
The pirate sword or the mirror?
The pirate sword.
Okay, I thought he might have grabbed like a shard from the mirror or something. And
that'd be great if he uses a pirate sword to cut a mirror and then grabs a part of the mirror to use. Like, he's not like, I don't want to use this sword. I want to use the mirror. But no, he uses a pirate sword. So now Vincent, I wrote down Vincent is spooky voice guy because I didn't know his name until this point. And he learns that the crow is dead. And Vincent's very upset about this. Mr. Rogue, he's very upset. He goes, grrr. That's how you know he's angry about it.
Hell yeah.
So Tilda Swinton goes to the opera, and all of her henchmen and bodyguards go as well. They all go to attend the opera, and so they're like watching an opera performance, and then all of a sudden during one of the performance the crow shows up and just starts killing everyone in the lobby. And this was a great scene. This shit rocked. Very violent. I truly don't know how they got away with some of the like insane violence in this scene. He's cutting people in half. He's like, he's fucking like murdering people left and right. Shit rocks. You know, it's awesome. He cuts off people's heads and their arms, and they're all juicy and bloody, and they fall in slow motion. There's blood shooting out of their
arms. This feels like what we wanted out of The Crow and the whole movie.
Yeah, it rocks.
So we have to wait an hour and 20 minutes in to get that.
There's this one really great bit where, like, one of the bodyguards is, like, so one guy is stabbed in the mouth by The Crow, and the sword shoots through the guy's mouth.
Oh.
But the guy, before getting stabbed in the mouth, is going for a little toothpick because he got something stuck in his mouth, or in his teeth. So he goes to get, like, the thing out of his teeth, and all of a sudden a fucking sword just slices through his mouth. A guy is stabbed. A guy grabs the sword and stabs The Crow through the back.
Oh.
And then The Crow grabs a gun and shoots himself in the chest, and the bullet
Hell
goes
yeah.
through the Crow's
That's
chest.
That's the kind of shit I'm looking for.
Killing the guy in the back, and then a guy in front of him is like, whoa! And The Crow grabs the guy and brings him to himself using the front of the sword and stabs the sword through the dude by embracing him.
All right.
Great shit. I'm also like, none of these guys are using like silencers for their guns, and like, opera's loud, but it's not that loud.
Yeah, that's
like,
a good point. Yeah.
How is no one watching this opera show going like, is there a fucking shootout going on in the lobby?
What's happening out here?
But yeah, shit rocks. This is the best part of the whole movie. Director, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you're not. Great work. So this one guy who's like, I think like the lead bodyguard for Tilda Swinton hears that all this is going on over like his like earpiece. So he goes to try to kill The Crow, and he pulls out a gun, but he realizes he can't kill The Crow. He's like unloading his gun in The Crow, and The Crow's not dying. He's not going down. So then the guy takes the gun, and he tries to kill himself with the gun because he's like, oh, The Crow's going to fucking kill me. I don't want The Crow to kill me. So he puts the gun to his head to kill himself, and then The Crow cuts the guy's arm off with his sword and then kills him in a very painful way, in a very slow, painful way.
Okay.
Which is pretty great. And then The Crow busts in on Tilda Swinton's little private suite to watch the opera. And he brings in her bodyguard's head into the room, and the Crow lady's like, "Look, man, I didn't know what I was doing." Like, she immediately acts like she didn't know what she was doing. She was manipulated, all this stuff. And the Crow's like, "I just want to know, is it worth it? Was it worth it to kill her? Was it worth it to kill us?" And then he fucking kills her so hard. And I'm like, well, okay, well, he pretty much did what he wanted. You know,
so
now he just cuts her head off, cuts her body in pieces. And I'm like, well, The Crow did well, although you don't see it. This is a funny thing where like The Crow can kill all of the male bodyguards he wants, but the minute he kills Tilda Swinton, you can't see it. So he slices her up, you know. And then I'm like, wow, he did what he wanted. You know, he's probably just gonna like escape and leave and go after Mr. Rogue. But no. So the opera performance is done. All of the performers are taking a little bow. Mm-hmm. And then The Crow comes on stage covered in black mess and blood.
Okay.
And he's holding two heads in his hands, and he just throws them out into the audience full of rich people.
Hell yeah. Everyone
is like, what the fuck? And all the performers on stage are like, ah! And then out in the audience, in the seats, we see Shelley, and she's watching this all happen. I don't really know what that's supposed to represent, but I guess that's meaningful somehow.
She's dead or not? I don't know.
I think this is just in The Crow's mind. I'm like, I don't know why The Crow thought, like, I'm not the biggest fan of opera, but like, just because people are watching opera doesn't mean they need to be, you know, horribly
traumatized. Yeah, really, there's only traumatized. Like two people that were bad in here, and everyone else is.
And the other people in there like worked for them, but like, not everyone in here are like bad guys, you know.
Not everyone here is like, oh, you know that our CEO is like fucking sucking down people's throats and telling them, acting like the boogeyman to them, and then telling them to kill themselves. It's like, no, man, they're just trying to make their 9 to 5. I don't know. They're trying to make their
just
money.
Just imagine going like, oh man, honey, like I got tickets for that opera you really love, and I know we don't have a lot of money, but you know, we saved up, and you know, we're gonna have a nice little date night, go watch the opera, and I got really good seats right in the front. And it's like this fucking crazy guy shows up with two heads, just throws it in you and your date's lap, and you're just like, oh no, we saved up for this. But they don't die. They're just Yeah, free head. That's true. And you know, that's what he was looking for in the first place, is some head.
Yeah. Some head. Yeah. No head. So,
no head. So the crow walks in on Mr. Rogue shaving in his room, and I don't know why the crow's hesitating after fucking just like chopping people
going
down
crazy,
with his
fucking
sword. But he puts the sword to the guy's head, and he's just like, "You killed Shelly," and Rogue is like, "You only have hate. You only hate. You don't love anymore." And then he somehow overpowers the crow and like gives him a little switcheroo, and he puts his little demon voice in his head, and then the crow is just like, "Wah!" And then he cuts himself. Rogue cuts himself, cuts the crow, and then he like takes in all of the crow's black magic powers into him. And then
he's gonna be more powerful. He's stealing his powers. Right. You didn't know about this, Mr. Rogue. Mr. Rogue is a new power that you never understood.
I didn't know what was going on, but he can do that apparently. I was confused. And then we see a little montage of the crow and Shelly, and I'm like, I don't know why they're showing me this. And then the crow and
in case you just watched only the second half of the movie, because you're like, I want to go through the good action scene. And
that's all I wanted.
Ignore the rest.
Nope. So the crow and Rogue, they both jump out of the window, really high, like 20-story window of this building, and they land in the other world. They land in the other spooky world, and they fight in a puddle, and they're punching each other, and they're drowning each other.
I feel like the spooky world only has like the train tracks with the puddle. I think that's kind of
that's
the
all
only
it
place
is.
You can go. There's nothing else.
Pretty
there.
Much all it is. Yeah. And they fight in those puddles and near those train tracks. And eventually, Mr. Rogue is grabbed by a bunch of demon hands in the puddle. And they all pull him down underneath. And he drowns and he dies. And as he's pulled down, Shelly is risen from under the water. And the crow pulls her out of the water. And he tells her that she gets to go back to life. She's going to be brought back to life. But he can't come with her. And her heart starts like beating really fast, and they kiss, and then she's brought back to life, and she's on the ground, and there's like nurses and you know, emergency medical professionals surrounding her, you know, pumping air into her chest and all that. She looks over and she sees the crow or Eric, and Eric's dead, lifeless body. And then she looks up and she sees that the person, the nurse or whatever, the emergency medical person who is bringing her back to life is the dude from the other side. It's the same actor.
Oh.
And I don't know what that represents, but it's cool. And so, yeah, but the crow's dead now. Wait, alive.
So she's in the same, is this like kind of in a weird warehouse area and it's just like a different alternative reality? Or is it like,
hey, I don't know.
I'm just like, how does she see Eric next to him or next to her?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that also means that Rogue is still dead. I don't know if that means this is taking place at an earlier time. I don't know if Eric is now dead and now has left all of the problems unresolved. But according to the narration at the end of the movie, the crow says that one day they'll reunite, but until then, he just has memories of her, and that's enough. And he says, well, almost enough. And then all these crows fly around, and they all land on the camera, and the movie ends. And that's the end of the movie, which is to imply that while he waits to see Shelly, he's going to fuck them crows.
we'll make them work.
That's The Crow. It's a bad film. Didn't make any sense. I didn't like it.
You mentioned that last part. It felt like it was like a long moment of the movie, wasn't it? Like that last part was kind of like ever after he kills him.
Yeah.
He did the whole thing. It seems like there's a few hours left that was like a 15-minute sequence or something.
I learned that apparently this is an alternate ending. That apparently there was another ending filmed and written that all of the actors approved of and liked. And they went with this other ending, which doesn't make any sense, but I think leaves it open to like sequels. And I think maybe that's what this is for, is like the crow still lives on and might return one day.
So what was the other ending?
I think the other ending is the crow dies. I think he just is fully dead, and that's the end of him. And that, you know,
like he sacrificed himself for love.
Exactly.
Although she says, if you ever leave, I'll die. So I mean, she's gonna die, so.
That's the biggest problem for me, is I don't really know. It has not established whether or not, like, Rogue is still dead. Like, she clearly has still has, like, many issues, and now probably only has more now that she doesn't have somebody in her life that she can care about.
Rogue's gotta,
like,
still be dead.
Her.
He got dragged back to hell or whatever, right? So he's probably
dead.
Yeah,
but if this is, like, a flashback, right? Like, if this is happening at the time that they were found.
No, I think if it's a flashback, it's, like, an alternate reality where he, like, probably dies in whatever opera house he's in or whatever he's doing. Yeah. And, you know, and then she's just like, oh, cool, I'm alive. And he dies in her stead, doesn't know anything that he did to save her.
I wonder if this means that, like, Sophia's alive.
Potentially, yeah. Her mom might still
be
alive.
You know
what? This is the case.
We'll just have to wait for the sequel that I'm sure is coming.
Yeah, that big cash grab. I'm sure they're going to make another sequel to get that extra cash grab.
That's right.
Man. This is such
bad
a
movie.
This is
It's bad. It's very bad.
I just think it really took all, like, they're at least trying to do something different. I just think none of it worked. None of it was interesting. No. None of it was fun. I don't think any of it really captured the soul of the first Kroll, except maybe that one sequence in the opera house sounds like it was
that shit rocked.
Very similar.
I highly recommend everyone checking out that sequence. I can't say how well it's, like, choreographed or anything, but I thought it just looked cool. I thought some of that violence looked cool as shit.
I like some cool violence. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd recommend that. I would not recommend the rest of this film. It is so poorly handled, poorly written, poorly conceived. It reminds me, not obviously in the same way, but it reminds me kind of as, like, Madame Web, where I just feel like this was in development hell for so long that people lost, like, the thread of what made this idea fun or cool, you know?
Absolutely.
And then after a while, they're like, well, might as well just put it out. Like, you know, like, we're just going to have to, we spent all this time and money. We got Sarsgaard over here. You know, might
so
as well
would
just
you
put the whole thing out.
Rather have them put it out, or would you rather have them kill it like Warner Brothers loves doing?
I mean, you know, that's a fair point. I mean, ultimately, I want the people who made this movie to get paid for it. So obviously it must go
and
out.
Get a credit. Because there's some, like, you know, the gaffers, I'm sure, did great on this movie. The makeup effects look fine, you know.
Yeah.
The special effects look
good. Yeah, those tattoos look like real tattoos.
Yeah.
So good job, makeup artist.
There's some good stuff in here for everyone not wanting to watch a fun movie. You know, technically, it's a fine-looking movie. It's just very generic.
Yeah, I think the problem with it is the screenwriting, I think, is the biggest problem. I think we need to really reestablish what makes these characters interesting and cool.
I mean, honestly, I don't think the directing was that interesting either. Like,
yeah, I suppose.
Like,
so.
It was all moments. I think the acting and the directing was just serviceable. Like, it was fine.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything I'd be like, oh man, this is terrible. Like, no razzies or anything. It passes. But when you have bad screenwriting, then it just really brings the whole thing down. You know, it's just like the ceiling is so low now. You can't get over that ceiling with any good acting or anything. And
ultimately, I think the biggest problem is you just don't give a shit about anybody in the movie. You don't give a shit about the Crow. You don't give a shit about Shelley.
Like, we never learn anything more about, you know, we see the flashback of his little horse or whatever, and, like, no one helps him. But, like, how does that relate to his current plight about being like, I don't know if I can trust this girl? It's like, I didn't need to know that he fucking had a horse die in barbed wire to know that he is, like, not going to trust people as much. It doesn't seem like a big character trait or a big character growth moment. It just seems like a normal human response, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's because, like, with something like the original Crow, which we can continue to compare it to, Brandon Lee is so goddamn charming and so, like, charismatic. And you immediately are like, I love this guy. I want to follow wherever he goes. And he's wearing goofy makeup, and I don't really understand the rules, but it doesn't matter because I'm following this dude and he's works. And it's like, the Sarsgaard fella, I like him in movies. He's a good little actor, but I don't think he's the role. I don't think he's the guy for this kind of role.
He doesn't have the little quips either. I feel like the thing with the Crow is, like, he's a very serious guy, but he's also unserious. Like, he's kind of jokerfied where he's just kind of, like, making quips and stuff while he's murdering people.
This guy's a little too self-serious.
He's a little too serious, a little too angry. And, like, the Crow was obviously angry, but, you know, he was having fun being angry. And that made me,
fun.
As an audience, fun.
Yeah, exactly. And this
bummer
wasn't
of a
fun.
Movie.
Bad bummer. Movie. Bummer. Yeah, bummer. Well, at least we got to talk about it.
At least
guys,
we know.
That's true. And now we know. Well, I remember when the trailer for this movie came out. We saw it, I think, before Furiosa. And we were like, we didn't even know it was a Crow movie until, like, the title card came up.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this? Is this a guy with a face, like, weird face on? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you want to listen to our previous Crow episode, which apparently it was very good, you can check it on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will be doing the show no matter what it says, even if it just doesn't have the same kind of charm and spirit and energy as the as any of the comments that you might have originally made. And if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us and email theotherhalfpodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Discord. You know, check us out there. And yeah, keep up to date on our fun excursions and adventures.
Yeah, thanks again for listening. If you could reboot any movie, any classic action movie, ooh, what would you reboot?
Ooh, this is a really good question. I want to try to pick something that isn't good, right? Like, you want to pick something that might have not worked and see if there's like a new interesting way of doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, so often like you'll see movies that are like, oh, let's take a movie that everyone loves and try to reboot it.
It doesn't have to. You could pick something good. Like, I was kind of thinking for some reason, I was like, what about if you like redid Repo Man, you know, like a little bit different. Did they make another Repo Man? Oh, shit.
I think they did. Go ahead and Google. I'm pretty sure they made another Repo Man, and it wasn't very good. That would be interesting, man. Though. Am I right?
There's apparently going to be a Repo Man 2, maybe, at some point, but I don't see a actual, like,
I'm pretty sure
a sequel.
Pretty sure it had Jude Law in it. Yeah, Repo Men, 2010.
What? Repo Men? Yeah.
Repo Men with Forrest Whitaker and Jude Law.
Oh my God, this looks terrible.
Wait, memories.
Is this related at all?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
This is about people buying artificial organs to extend their lives. That was not in the first movie.
Oh yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, that's fair.
So this is not a reboot. This is like an alternate thing. That's weird.
That's a fair point.
So I still think still stands.
Okay, all right. It still stands. That's a fair point. Is that an action movie? Would you consider that an action movie?
Sort of, yeah. I would say a live action movie.
I would pick the Warriors. I feel like we can do some interesting things with that movie. I think we can make some interesting like points and choices with the movie like that. I think that'd be a very interesting film to try to adapt in a modern day. And I think it'd be fun. I think that'd be a fun little film to make. I'm trying to think of any other ones, but again, I'm trying to think of movies I don't necessarily like enjoy. Like, I don't love the original Warriors movie. I think it'd be a good one to try to reboot. Like, and maybe not a lot of people don't remember it, you know? So you can try to adapt it in that way.
Okay.
There you go. So those are our adaptations. What do you guys think? What movies would you adapt? Email us and let us know. Good night, everybody.
Caw-caw! We're flying off to murder. We're gonna commit a murder. Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of The Crow.
I watched the second half of The Crow 2024.
Oh, fuck. You're right. I forgot.
And this.
Okay.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday. Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.